I'd like to take this occasion to welcome everybody into the Martyrs tonight, and those that are still coming in, those that may still be journeying, may the Lord give them good speed and safe travel as they make it here tonight. I'm not going to ask, as maybe would have been the custom, where are you from? That could take a while. Just from the very youngest right through to the oldest, you're extremely welcome here tonight. And we pray that in this, the first of the three meetings in the annual Easter Convention, the blessing of God will fall upon us and we will thoroughly enjoy his presence here. If I could just diverge a little from the script, put in a bit of an advertising plug. We will be running New Martyrs tours from mid-May. Last year, most of you will know, it would have been Martin Luther and the Reformation. And if you didn't, over the course of the year, be able to get along to one of those tours, then tonight you're probably where you're usually booking your holidays, lastminute.com. And immediately after the meeting, if you meet us in the front porch, we can do a tour. It'll be a brief spin around, and we'll take you on the Reformation tour, because, quite frankly, it's going to be dismantled in a few days after the convention, and we'll be opening up for the World War I tour entitled The Path to Peace, 100 years since the end of World War I. And we're hopeful we'll bring a lot of people in from the area and from further afield. Last time around, 1,500 people came in through the doors, and we're very thankful if you were one of them. But tonight's your last chance. We'll bow together, please, in prayer, and we'll commence our meeting that way. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of being found in thy house on this Good Friday, the day when we remember thine atoning death. We thank thee the Lord Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Father, we thank thee for the cross. And as it would have resounded from this pulpit on many occasions and right through the assembled congregation here, we do send up our hallelujah for the cross, knowing it will never suffer loss. May Christ and his finished work be made much of right through this weekend, both here and in all of our churches. We pray that the man of Calvary, the fairest of all the earth beside, will be magnified in every pulpit, will be glorified in every mind and in every heart. Grant, Lord, a time of blessing over this weekend, a time when thou art present with thy people. Be with all of those that will participate in the leading of the singing, in the general congregational singing, as thy name is lifted up high above all, in the reports that are given, giving us insight into thy work in various sectors of the world. And we know that over this weekend we'll only get a bit of a flavour or even a snapshot of various fields of service. We thank thee there are even more. And thy work is going on apace. May there be those that will hear thy call this weekend, that will respond, by grace, here am I, send me. Lord, there may be some that have come, as we know we did over 30 years ago, with a bit of anxiety, trepidation, maybe thinking, fearing, this might be the time when God will lay hold upon us and change our own, as we thought, carefully laid plans around, and call us. Lord, we pray if there be those that over this weekend received the call of God, may they not stoop to do something lesser if thou art calling them to something greater. Open windows in heaven. Pour out the blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. And as we travel from these meetings, with the anointed preaching of thy word, bless every spokesman of thine to that end. As we travel home, may we take the blessing with us to those that we'll meet and interact with over this weekend. And may the Lord be magnified for Jesus' glory and his eternal praise. We ask these things. Amen.
Well, good evening, everyone. Can we just add those words of welcome to each and every one of you? Good to see a good congregation here as we annually gather together again to rejoice in the death and resurrection of our triumphant, glorious Saviour. 118 is our opening hymn this evening. Please take your hymn books and join with me in this wonderful hymn, Christ is Risen. Hallelujah, risen or victorious head, sing his praises. Hallelujah, Christ is risen from the dead. This is our historical Jesus Christ. And we have this wonderful fact, the tomb is empty. That's something for us as believers indeed to sing about tonight and rejoice in. Let's sing our very best as we open our weekend conference.
Thank you.
praise the Lord. And it is a joy to be able to stand and sing with confidence. The tomb indeed is empty. Our salvation, men and women, is secure. That was the seal, and his work was accepted. And now we can fully trust in Christ and in Christ alone. Now, when the Lord ascended into the heavens, the Great Commission was given just before he ascended to the church. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching, spreading the message of the one Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And with that being those words of the Lord, they stir hearts, of course, and as a denomination, that's what we seek to do, is to spread the gospel here, there, and everywhere for the glory of our God. And we want to have a few reports here this evening of those who are doing exactly that. I want you to listen to the reports and take these people upon your hearts and pray for them that God will use them for his glory. The next two reports that are going to come now is Miss Christina Logan and then our brother Reverend Wesley Graham, and our brother will be speaking on the Precious Life Home, Christina Logan, on her ministry.
I want to thank Reverend Brown for the kind words of welcome and for allowing me to come here tonight and to share with you all the work I hope to be doing for the Lord amongst the boys and girls here in Northern Ireland, and also to share with you why there is a great need for more workers to be brought into this very vital work amongst the young people and boys and girls here at home. I'd like to read just one verse from the Word of God tonight, and it's found in Matthew 18, verse 14. You don't have to turn to it, but it's found in Matthew 18, verse 14. And it says in that verse, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." Now, there are many passages in the Word of God which speaks to us about child evangelism and the need to go out and to minister amongst the boys and girls. And this is one of these verses. And it says in this verse that it is not the will of God that one of these little ones should perish. And Christ is clearly here talking about the children. He is a little child amongst them, amongst him and his disciples. And so we are taught clearly here in this verse that it's not the will of God that any of these little ones, the children, should perish. And therefore, if it's not God's will that any of the little ones should perish, and if we as Christians are to do the will of God, then it stands to reason that we are to go out, that we are to go out and to tell the boys and girls and to share with them the gospel and their need of a saviour. As we all know, more and more boys and girls are growing up today with no knowledge of the Bible or of their need of a saviour. And children are not being sent along to Sunday school anymore or to children's meetings or to holiday Bible clubs, things like that. And they have no interest in it, and the parents have no interest in it. And there's often many things in the world that is there to distract them and to catch their interest. And so there is a great need for more people to be involved in children's work and to be inviting the boys and girls out. And that is why we, both personally and as a church, should have a renewed vision and zeal for the boys and girls of this land. And that is why I'm doing this. I believe that the Lord has his will for my life to become a full-time children's worker for him. I believe that he has placed that love and burden for the souls of the boys and girls on my heart. And my prayer is that more boys and girls will come to see their need of a saviour and that they would come and put their faith and trust in him. My prayer is also that more people will become more involved in children's work. And I would encourage you all here tonight that if you haven't already done so, that you would get involved in your local church and get involved in your children's work there. Now, I know some of you here wouldn't even dream of getting up and standing up in front of a group of children and telling a Bible story. But you don't have to start with that. You can even start just helping out with the buses, doing the quiz, the choruses, the memory verse, or even just sitting amongst the boys and girls. And you'll still be doing your part for the Lord. And you would never know, you'll never know even how the Lord would use even those conversations that you would have with a child one-on-one, and how the Lord can use that to even bring a soul and a little boy and girl to the Lord. And the Lord will give you help. He has promised in his word that he will do so. And he may even lead you then into full-time service for him. I would ask you tonight that you would pray for me as I begin this work, and that you pray, most importantly, that boys and girls would come to know the Lord as their Saviour. that God would save them and that they would grow up in a knowledge of the Lord and a knowledge of the Bible, and that they themselves would even become little missionaries in their own schools, their own homes and their own communities. And we should never underestimate how God can use a little child. We're told in the Bible that a little child shall lead them, and little children can indeed lead others to the Lord. Again, I said I would covet your prayers as I begin this work, and I'd also ask you to pray that again more labourers would be brought into this vital part of the Lord's harvest field, and that you yourself would be willing to go if the Lord would call you into that work as well. Thank you very much for your time tonight, and we'll show a little bit of the DVD now. Thank you. Was fear of the unknown, of whether I would be able to do it, of whether I had the ability to do it, and so I held back a little bit, but I did know deep down that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. He had placed that burden on my heart, that love for the children, for a reason, and I knew in my heart that He wanted me to go into full-time children's work. I really had a clear vision of what I wanted to do for my life. I wanted to go to university, I wanted to study there, but I realised that I wasn't seeking the Lord's will for my life in that aspect. And it was through a friend of mine, she'd asked me if I'd ever consider going to Bible college, and that was a real start of my real journey towards that point where I realised that the Lord wanted me to go to Bible college. For what reason, I didn't know at that point. But I just knew in my heart that the Lord wanted me to go and study further in Bible college. So I did apply and I was going to drop out of school in lower sixth, so finish school and not finish in upper sixth. But again, I was told to wait a year. And in hindsight, I can see why to finish my education, and I can see the Lord's hand in it all. But going through that year was quite difficult. At the start, I was like, yes, it's fine. It's the Lord's will. Just have to be patient. But as the months went on, it got harder and harder. And it was a real time where I had to learn to be patient and to wait in the Lord. In the hindsight, looking back, it worked out fine, and I'm glad that I was told to wait that year. But it was difficult going through that, but the Lord did help. I had that burden for children through college when I started really getting into children's work. I really began to love it. I began to have a real burden for the souls of the boys and girls here. And then going to Liberia, yes, I had a burden for the children there, but again, there was also that deep, you know, that kind of burden in my heart for the children back at home. And it did grow, strangely. I know it sounds strange being in Liberia, but it did grow in my heart in Liberia for the children here at home. And so I got involved in our children's work in our own church, in our local church, and I began to do Bible clubs, holiday Bible clubs, so even go around different churches and do children's meetings and things like that. But I knew that the Lord wanted me to go further for Him, but there was a little bit of fear that kept me back, fear of, well, what does this mean for the future? Am I able to do this? Do I have the experience? Do I have the ability to be able to work full-time as a children's worker? For a while I held back. I was like, I don't want to do this, you know. And it was actually one Sunday night here at church and home, Reverend McLeod was speaking on Numbers 32, verse 6. And it says there some lines of, you know, are you going to sit here while your brethren go to war? And it spoke to me, you know, I was sitting, I was doing nothing for the Lord. I wasn't doing what He wanted me to do. And other people were out there working with children. They were trying to win children to the Lord. And I was sitting in church really doing nothing. I wasn't going out and doing what the Lord wanted me to do. And so that night I spoke to Reverend McLeod and I said I want to apply to the mission board to become a full-time children's worker. And so I applied and I was accepted in December of 2017. So my vision for the first term as a children's worker here in Northern Ireland is to be able to go into schools, even start locally in our own schools in our own area of Antrim, North Antrim, and to really establish even a relationship with those schools and those communities, and to be available to churches around the area too for children's meetings, Bible clubs, things like that. And ultimately the vision is that boys and girls will come to know the Lord as their own and personal saviour. Children are the future of the church, and the Bible tells us that they can be saved. The Lord Himself said, suffer little children to come unto me. And so they need to be taught. That's why we need to go out. We need to teach them about the Bible, teach them about creation, about the fall, and their need of a saviour. And that is our prayer, and that is my prayer, that children will come to know the Lord and be saved.
We're here tonight to represent the children's home in Kathmandu, the precious children's home, and we'd like to thank the Mission Board for this opportunity to present the need to you this evening. First of all, we'd like to thank you for your prayerful and practical support over the past number of years, because without that it would have been impossible, number one, to continue to start the home, and number two, to continue the work there. Now, the work on the children's home began in 2003, and this year we celebrate 15 years. It opened with five children, and since that time the home has gradually grown over the years, adding a few children every year, until now there are some 30 children in the home. Now, some of the original children that were there at the beginning have now moved out of the home and are living their lives, maybe in some other local church. The children in the home at present include a number of ones. We have Joseph and Rhoda, who were brought from destitution in a village. We can hardly describe their circumstance. Then we have another two children here, and only giving you a sample because we could speak of others. This is Amrita and Junia, and they were rescued from terrible abuse, and this is them now. What a change there is for them. And then we have Martha. Martha and her sister Miriam were working in a home. Martha was working in a hotel, just about 10 years of age, to keep her and her sister alive. But now she's in the home and in for quite a number of years. Now, this is a picture of Paul, just taken this week. Paul sent me that the other day, and he has five children here. These are all parentless children, and he hopes that three of those children will be added to the rest of the children that are in the home. Now, these pictures that you see here really were the catalyst that got us involved in our church with the children of the home there. Especially the bottom picture. Back in November 2006, George McConnell and myself made a trip to Nepal, and it was this picture that captured George's imagination. 11 children sleeping all in the one room, and you can imagine the cramped conditions there were. Well, George came home and laid the burden of that work to his own congregation in Mourne, down in Kilkeel. And over a weekend, as far as I remember, there was some £11,000 raised. Our Macrofelt Church then added another £4,000, and a house was purchased. Now, this was the very first home that the children lived in. It was a very small home. In that home, you would have had the children living, the ones that I'm just showing you there. But we purchased this particular home, the white part, the ground floor, and then we began to add to it bit by bit. And that now is the home as it stands. And there are 30 children in that home, and it is full to capacity. Now, Paul was not content with just merely 30 children in the home. He wanted to do more. And we purchased a piece of ground, there you have it, about 2 minutes' walk from the present home. Purchased that piece of ground, and they began to build at the beginning of 2016. And gradually, the home has grown, and you see here the progress over the past number of months and years, and that is where we are now with the home. It is very near completion. It will just hopefully be another few weeks before that home is opened. We show you some pictures of the inside. This is the kitchen now. It's not completed yet, so some of these pictures you see, there is obviously more work to be done, but that's the new kitchen. This is the hall as you enter into the home. That's the upstairs as we looking from the upstairs down. Then this is one of the bathrooms, and you can see it's well tiled. Now, this home will have, I think, 6 or 8 bathrooms, and that's really upmarket for and very state-of-the-art for Nepal, and they have built it to a very high specification. These here will be for the shoes of the children. You probably saw a slide earlier on there where all the children's shoes were let out. Well, these particular pigeonholes, if you want to call them that, that will be where the children will have their shoes. This will be the dining room. It's quite a big room and will accommodate the children in the home. Now, someone will be asking, what about the cost? Well, I want to say this, that I'm not here this evening with a begging bowl, because I don't need to beg, because the Lord touches hearts. Now, since our mission board began to help with the financing of this work in 2007, and that's some nearly 11 years, we have never gone into debt. Every month, over the past number of years, money has been sent to the home to sustain and to keep the home. The money has come in for the new building, that new building that you saw. Every penny has come in for that particular building, and we don't need money for that. But I want to think about the cost of the running of the home for 30 children, and you can see these figures for yourself. £47 a day. Doesn't sound very much, but now you multiply it up with the 165, it's 17,000. And that money is coming in year after year without any major appeal. And if there are 60 children, as we hope there will be in the not-too-distant future when the home is opened, that is the cost of that there. Now, someone might ask the question, is this value for money? That's a lot of money to raise for this. Well, last year, close to the end of last year, Paul sent me some photographs which showed six children. I have only four of the children here on slides tonight, but he sent me photographs of six children who went through the waters of baptism. These children came to personal faith in Christ and were baptized in a river just outside Kathmandu. Two boys we have here and two girls. I asked the question a minute ago, is this value for money? Well, I think this fact answers the question. These children may never have heard the gospel if they had not been introduced to the home. And we're reminded of the words, the well-known words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, where he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God." This home is not merely to educate children. This home is not merely to provide a safe environment, and it is all that, of course, in and of itself. This home is to raise children for the glory of Christ, to bring children to faith in Christ. Now, just think about these 60 children. Not all of them, of course, will go into full-time service as we know it, but think about the potential with 60 children here. Think of these children as under 20 years of age, as all of them are. And you think that the potential here is for each child could give 45 years of service to Christ. You multiply that up and you'll discover that's 2,700 years of service for Christ. As we conclude tonight, we think of this meeting. Are there 100 young people here, 20 years old and younger? I'm not going to do it, I'm tempted to ask for a show of hands, but I'm quite sure there are 100 young people, 20 years of age or under. And of those 20 young people, we're able to give 45 years to God. That's 4.5 millenniums potential service for God. What potential there is in this meeting. We've been thinking about the work in Nepal, but what potential there is here in this meeting. I was thinking today about three men. David Brainerd, who went to reach the American Indians, saw many of them converted. We think of Henry Martin, who went to Persia and translated the Bible into Farsi. We think of Robert Murray McShane. Those three men all died at 30 years of age. But what a work they did in that short space of time. I was thinking also about Saul of Tarsus, and you know the story there, how that they laid the clothes of those that stoned Stephen at the feet of that man, the young man called Saul, and what a mighty work Saul did. Wrote over the half the books of the New Testament and opened many churches, saw many churches founded. That's our sister Joy. Joy Gillespie is there at the moment learning the language, and part of Joy's work will be to teach these children the Word of God and instruct them that their lives might be prepared for the future. Please do pray for Joy and pray for these children and for the children, the 30 children, extra children that will come in. Pray that God's hand might be upon them and that many of these children will be thrust out into the harvest field. Thank you so much tonight for your attention.
It genuinely is a wonderful privilege that our God has given to us as individuals and to us as a denomination to serve him here in Northern Ireland and further afield. And we are glad to hear those two reports here this evening. We're going to ask now the moderator of our denomination, the Reverend Murray, just to come now and bring the necessary announcements for the meeting.
Could I just also say a word of thanks to Christina and to the Reverend Graham for those reports. There is still a work and still much to be done for the Lord in the day in which we live. This time fortnight, I will have the wonderful privilege of being in Nepal and of seeing the places that we've just seen up on the screen. And certainly I would appreciate your prayers as I go out there to speak at the conference and to fellowship with those there in Christ. Could I, on behalf of our presbytery, bid each of you a very warm welcome along to this, the first of our services over this weekend. It's good to see almost every seat filled in this place tonight, and certainly encouraging to see so many young people gathered here. And we trust that you'll be so blessed and you'll so enjoy the meeting that you'll plan to come back on Monday afternoon and not go home and stay also for the Monday evening meeting as well. Could I also welcome all of those who are watching by means of the World Wide Web as well. Supper will be provided after this meeting for everyone, and that will be up in the Jubilee Complex. And so after the service, just make your way out through the doors and make your way up there as quickly as possible. As I said, please remember the meetings on Monday. Monday afternoon, the service is at 3:30 p.m. There will be special singing by the Whitfield College of the Bible and also by Mrs. Patricia Hamilton. And again, we'll be having a number of reports in the afternoon. Mr. Stephen Miller, who is our missionary in Uganda, he has been home on furlough and has been round many of our congregations, and his time at home is coming now to an end. In a few weeks, he will be heading back to the land of Uganda, and he'll be with us on Monday afternoon to leave some final requests and prayer before you. Also, our sister, Miss Margaret Russell, is home just for a few weeks, and she will be also speaking on the Monday afternoon. There's been a number of changes even in the mission field there in Kenya, and our sister will be giving a brief report as to those changes and to the need for the work there in Kenya. Also, be having a report on behalf of the Vision magazine. You'll know the Vision magazine is the official magazine of our denomination. God has used that magazine. It's been a blessing to our hearts even over the last number of years. But there's been some changes in the Vision. The Reverend Timothy Nelson was the editor, and of course just recently he was appointed as the new principal of the Whitfield College of the Bible, and because of that he is giving up the editor as editor of the magazine, and Presbytery has appointed the Reverend Colin Mercer as the new editor, and Mr. Mercer will be with us on Monday afternoon to give you an update in regard to the Vision and also to the website as well. I will be the speaker on the Monday afternoon. Between the two services, there will be tea and coffee provided. But if you want something more, you're going to have to bring the rest yourself. And if you don't like what your wife gives you, well, you sit beside someone else and they might swap or they might share with you. But do remember, there will be tea and coffee, but you need to bring your own eatables in the afternoon. The Monday evening service will be at 7 p.m. and we will be having a DVD presentation on behalf of the prison ministry. This is a ministry that God has used in a great way. And many men, hard men, men who had gone down the wrong road in life, have been gloriously saved through that ministry and their lives transformed and gone on to serve the Lord. And I probably back 10, 15 years ago, we've been very aware of that ministry. But perhaps we haven't been as aware of it in recent years. But that work still goes on, and there will be a DVD presentation in that regard. Also in the evening, there will be a DVD presentation in regard to LTBS ministry as well. There will be special singing by the Greer family and also the choir from our Lisburn church. And the deputy moderator of our presbytery, the Reverend Gordon Dean, will be the speaker on the Monday evening. Please ask you to remember the offerings as well. That will be a little later on in this meeting. But after all of the expenses have been taken care of, the offerings will be going to help the causes which you will hear about over this weekend. And so we trust that you'll remember the offering and that you will give generously even to these causes. Also, there are DVDs and CDs of the convention meetings available. Those can be ordered and then posted out. If you would like a copy, just through this door and through the next door, there is the office. Make your way there and you can order those DVDs. Also, in the Jubilee Church, there is a book table by the Bethel Bookshop and also a book table by the Whitfield College of the Bible as well. And if you have a moment, please go through. Sometimes those get forgotten about, and it can be very lonely back there. So you take time, if not tonight, sometime during the weekend to visit the bookshop and to support that and get yourself some good literature as well. Two other announcements can I make. They're very important. The United Children's Camp, that is for children between the ages of 8 and 12. It is Monday the 30th of July through to Friday the 3rd of August. And that is held down at Humphreys at Rathmore in Larne. The Reverend Ryan McKee is the camp director, and he will be assisted by the child evangelist from our own denomination. The camp draws children from right across our denomination, and I believe last year there was something like 19 congregations represented. There will be a mixture of on-site and off-site activities, and each day there will be meetings and also dorm devotions. The cost for the week, and that's including the accommodation, the activities and the food, is £130. That's not dear for a week. That's the good news. The bad news is there are only 8 places left. And if you're interested in that, go on to the Mission Board website. You can get an application form or look out the Reverend McKee or the Reverend Harris over this weekend. Many of us here can look back to, if not children's camp, we can look back to youth camp, and we can testify as to what a profound effect it had upon our lives. So please do remember that. This year is also a very special year, as it is the Free Presbyterian International Congress. Last time it was held here in Northern Ireland. This time it will be held in our Malvern Church in Philadelphia. The dates for that are Friday the 27th of July through to Monday the 6th of August. The subject will be Christ, and under that we'll be dealing with Christ as our prophet, priest, king, advocate, and friend. The price is £1,500 approximately, because now as we get closer the prices of the flights are always increasing. And of course that includes not just your flights, it includes your accommodation, it also includes day trips. They will be taking you out every day, and of course you won't be far from Amish country, and you also the beautiful city of Philadelphia as well. It'll be a great trip, and it'll be nice to support that Congress. So if you have in your holidays book, please think about that. There's 40 names already on that list, so you would need to decide pretty soon. And if you're interested, could you contact the Reverend Roger Higgison as soon as possible? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Reverend Murray. That children's camp is in Larne, the glorious city of my calling. So it's £130, apparently. If you see me afterwards, I'll give you a room for the week for £100. So you can open that from 8 vacant spaces to, well, the sky's the limit. If the money keeps coming, we'll get you crammed in somewhere. Now, I want to bring just a brief report on the work of the Youth Council. 44 years ago, several of our ministers saw the need and the benefits of putting together a body to coordinate and combine the efforts of different youth fellowships across our denomination. Since then, the Youth Council has had the great privilege of endeavouring to extend Christ's kingdom and develop Christian character among our youth. It's a great privilege of mine just to play some small part in the work of the Youth Council. We have a committee of 10 men who oversee specific areas across our country, and I'm greatly indebted to the work of those committee members as they labour quietly for the Lord in the background. And additionally, quarterly, we have our delegates' meetings, and our delegates are made up of two representatives from various youth fellowships across our denomination. And we meet, like I said, quarterly to discuss events that we can run that year, and also to discuss how we run each of those events. So I would encourage every youth fellowship here, every youth leader, make sure you're represented there. If you're not represented, you can't have your say. And we'd love to have even many more youth fellowships joining with us, bringing youth council events to your area and making good use of the events that are already planned. This year, we already have had our training weekend. Now, training weekend's a real blessing. I always thoroughly enjoy it. This year was on the 17th of March, which of course is the anniversary of the constitution of this denomination. So we started on Saturday morning, regarding the lectures, at least on Saturday morning, with the history of our denomination. And then we dealt with the question, for whom did Christ die? We went on to look at the resurrection, the purpose for the resurrection, and the evidences for the resurrection. How to pray for the lost, practical tips on evangelism, training for children's work. 17th of March is St. Patrick's Day, and so you can't really